I think it's time for husband and wife not to compromise and be like Joshua at the end of the book of Joshua when he comes to the people and he says to the people in the land, for me and my house, we are going to serve God. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. You have to get rid of the trash in your home. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Remember that.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has walked with the Lord for nearly 5 decades, and his hope is that you would join him in experiencing the joy of living out your faith without compromise. For inspiration from Raul's lifelong journey with the Lord, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 for a free DVD of his story. We're glad you've joined us today for our continuing study of Nehemiah. As Raul ponders how Nehemiah led the people of Israel to repent of their sin and renew their spiritual covenant with God, we hope you'll be inspired to a deeper level of commitment in your own relationship with the Lord. We'll learn what the Bible says about how to separate ourselves and our family from the ways of the world in order to seek revival in our homes. Here's Raul Reese now in Nehemiah chapter 10.
If you look at a picture of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is a perfect example of spiritual commitment this morning. And this is what I want to speak to you about. Nehemiah for 4 months waited upon God as he prayed and he fasted and he mourned before God, as God now would come to the king Artaxerxes, the Persian king. And Nehemiah becoming the cupbearer to the king, one of the most difficult and dangerous positions in the kingdom. God touched the heart of the king, and the king released Nehemiah to go back and begin a work in the city of Jerusalem, which took him 12 years to complete. Now, Jerusalem has been rebuilt. The walls have been built. Gates have been placed in order. The people of God have been touched by the word of God as Ezra, the scribe, found the book of the law and read from Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And the people began to hear the word of God. Well, the hearing of God's word created a kind of a revival among the people. And so the people in the 9th chapter of the book of Nehemiah not only pray, but they repent. They come to a place of repentance. They come to a place where they now sign a covenant of loyalty that is promised to God, that they're going to follow God's ways and not their ways any longer. And so now in the 10th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, we come to that place where kind of a revival has started through repentance. But sometimes when we read the Bible, you come to those chapters where there's a lot of names. And many times we think that genealogies are not important, but genealogies are very important. Every name, every period, every question, every letter that we have in the Bible is important for us. The Holy Spirit put every name here for a reason. Not only symbolically do we have a definition of every name here, starting with Nehemiah, which means comforter, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. But also it shows us that God keeps record of names. Even like your name and my name are already placed in the book of life. God already has put our name in the book of life. We are written in the book of life. But also in the 10th chapter, not only do we have names, but we also have about 5 observations that I have made that I want to give to you concerning spiritual commitment to revival, to be in the perfect will of God. I believe that as we gather together in so many services and we have so many people coming through here, that not everyone here is in the perfect will of God. I believe that some of you are in God's permissive will, but not His perfect will. And I believe that as we stand here this morning, that all of us are running a race. We're in a race. And I hate to say this, but not everybody is going to finish the race. It's kind of like the race that we have in the kingdom of God. Not everybody is going to finish the line. Not everybody is going to receive the prize. Some people in the kingdom of God disqualify themselves because of the so easily sin that beset us. And I think that as we look at the text this morning, you're going to see yourself in this text. Because what God desires of my life, I think Paul puts it very plain and very beautiful in the book of Romans, as he's writing to these Roman Gentiles. In the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2, he says, I therefore, Paul, beg you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your minds. For this is the perfect will of God. Here the people of God are signing a piece of paper or a scroll, and they're signing their names to this scroll in making a covenant of loyalty to God in the promise that they are going to serve God. And so they sign their names. So here in chapter 10, now we begin that description of the spiritual commitment. In the first 8 verses, beginning with verse 2 to 8, you have 21 names of 21 priests of the kingdom, heads of the priestly tribes. And then in verse 9 through verse 13, you have 17 names of the heads of the Levites, which were the householders. And then in verse 14 through verse 27, you have 44 names of the heads of the leaders of every lay family. And so these names are very important in the scripture. But then in verse 28, he begins his message. And let me give you 5 things this morning in this chapter that I have made observations on. Number 1 observation is in verse 28. And now, the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, and the singers, and the Nephilims, and all those who had separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone who had knowledge and understanding. The first thing we have here in verse 28 is separation to God. Separation of the leaders to God and the separation of the household to God, the husband, the wife, and the children. Notice that the separation to God is a separation from the people surrounding them that are heathens. Now that doesn't mean you can't go to work in the world or you can't go to lunch with an unbeliever. That's not what he's talking about. Here he's talking of the separation of being active with the people that are sinning against God, especially in idolatry. God is warning his people. If you want to make a covenant with me, then you have to separate yourself from the people if you want to see spiritual revival in your life. Some of us not only work among the world and live among the world, but we also are among the sinning of the world. Some of us can't even tell if we really had a change with God. Because when people look at us, we look just like the world. And what God desires of his people, he said in the book of 1 John, he describes it again theologically, what Jesus is talking about. John says to us this, verse 15, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the desires or the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the desires or the lust of it too. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And yet, we declare ourselves and we make a proclamation and a declaration that we are children of the light. We speak of being totally committed to God. And yet, within our own lives, we can laugh and we can partake of the dirtiness and the naughtiness and the nakedness and the ugliness of the things that television and movies give to us, and we can enjoy them. You better read Romans chapter 1. Because in chapter 1 of Romans, Paul the Apostle says, as he ends the chapter, he enters into chapter 2, he says, not only those that are actors that are sinning against God, but those that are watching actors act are just as guilty because they become the enjoyers of what they're doing. Remember that. You are just as guilty, and I'm just as guilty as those that are acting. There's a warning for us. I think the time has come for you husbands and you wives and you children to really begin to clean your houses. The time is short. The time is very short. I think it's time that we need to stand up for righteousness' sake, that we need to live according to the standards of God's word. It says here in verse 28 that the people separated themselves. Why? Because they had knowledge and understanding of God's word. The people were in the word of God. They were reading Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. The Pentateuch, the Torah, the instruction that was given to the Jew. And the parents made a commitment not to defile their homes or to defile their children. And I think that it's time for parents, especially you fathers, to take the headship of your homes. And if you have children that are rebellious and they're old enough and they don't want to change, I would give them an ultimatum. I would tell them, either you stay or you leave, for this is the house of the Lord. I think it's time. And I think it's time that when we look at God's word, that we live according to the word of God, because some of you husbands are not the heads. Some of you husbands are physically, verbally abusing your wives. Your children are watching you and they think you're a hypocrite. They don't respect you. And it's sad because God has called you to be the spiritual head of your home, even as Christ is the head of the church. And some of you women, maybe you're not submitting to your husband because you see what he is in your eyes. But I think it's time for husband and wife not to compromise and be like Joshua at the end of the book of Joshua when he comes to the people and he says to the people in the land, for me and my house, we are going to serve God. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. You have to put an ultimatum. You have to get rid of the trash in your home. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Remember that. Second point, verse 29. And these joined with their brothers and their nobles, and they entered into a curse and an oath to walk, number one, in God's law, which was given by Moses, a servant of God, two, and to observe, and three, to do all the commandments of the Lord our Lord and his ordinances and his statutes. Notice that. Secondly, there was a subjection or a submission to the word of God. People wanted to obey God's word. They were signing the decree, yes, we will separate ourselves. Yes, we will study God's word. And we will obey God's word. And then thirdly, and this is important, verse 30. Watch this. And we will not give our daughters as wives to the peoples of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons, which means what? There would not be any mixed marriages. What does that mean? It means that they would not allow their children to marry heathen people. And some of you parents have given your blessing to your children to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that is not a Christian. God forbids it. It's a curse. It's an abomination to God. And the reason I say it to you is because I am responsible to what I say to you and what I teach to you from the Word of God. And you have no excuse when you leave here this morning, if you're a young person and you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that is not a Christian, if you don't break it off, you will be responsible for your own blood. For I have given to you God's truth. And then we ask God why God is not blessing us. And why we don't feel His love and grace and mercy, and why we don't hear from His Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is grieved. You're living in sin. You're not living lives of purity. God forbid it. God didn't want His people to go out and marry people from outside of the city of Jerusalem. Why? Because these people were heathens. They were against God. They were worshipers of demons and other idols and other gods. The people of God already had spent 70 years in captivity because they had what? Neglected the Sabbath, but also they had given themselves to other gods of the nations. And they learned their lesson. Never again in the history of Israel, even today, has Israel ever gone back to idolatry since Babylon. Because God taught them the lesson that every one of us need to learn. I think that as we hear from God, that we reflect that what God is asking us is a renewal of our lives through obedience to our children and to our husband and wives. That's what God wants. That's what God desires. Also, fourthly, verse 31. And if the peoples of the land brought wares or any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or in a holy day. And we would forego seventh year produce and exacting of every debt. Here what literally is happening is the heathens in the land that have come to Jerusalem, they were coming on the Sabbath day and they were setting up shop on the Sabbath day. And God told the people to tell the people that from now on they could not set up shop on the Sabbath day because that was the Lord's day. Now to us, we don't treat any day differently. Colossians talks about that. But it's important here. Let me make a point here because this is Old Testament. Let me make a point that the Sabbath here, what I see here is the importance of making sure you gather together with someone or a bunch of people on the Sabbath to worship the Lord God Jehovah. And not allow your golf or your surfing or whatever your hobbies may be to take you away from a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or whatever night it may be from the fellowship of the Word of God and the saints. God speaks about that. And some of us have even taught our children that it's okay to not go to church. And some of you have allowed your children to sleep in on Sunday nights, you know, on Sunday mornings and say, oh, you don't really have to go. Yes, they have to, or else how are they going to hear the Word of God? And I made a policy since they were little kids that they were going to go to church with us. And then when they would become of age, when they would become adults to live in our home, they still would have to go twice a week. And if they can't go twice a week, then they need to look for an apartment. You know why we make that a policy? Because if our children are not hearing the word of the Lord and they're not in church in fellowship, guess what? You're going to bring leaven into your church. And I think you as parents need to make a stand today to your children. And then, fifth point, we see it in verse 32. And that is that God, through this revival, not only brought separation of the people, subjection to the word of God, separation from mixed marriages, keeping the Sabbath observances, but also, notice fifthly, they were willing to give hilariously to the support of the Lord. None of them stole from God. They gave willingly and hilariously. There was no begging. Verse 32. And also we made ordinances for ourselves to exact from ourselves yearly 1/3 of our shekel for the service of the house of our God. Paul the apostle in the New Testament says in chapter 16 verses 1 to 4, he says that we have to give every first of the week, which means at the first of the week, you have to give weekly what belongs to God. You don't get to keep it, you have to give it to God. Now, if people were obedient to God, then many of these churches and many of these radio programs and television programs wouldn't have to be beggars. But the problem is that God's people abhor it for themselves. And they don't give to God what belongs to God. And then we wonder why we are in debt. And we wonder why we don't have and we're lacking in things. The more you take, the less you get. Because God is a God that gives. And this is what he sets up here now, how you are to pay your tithe and how you're to give to the temple and to pay the tax of the temple and to pay by vowing to the priest and giving enough to give to the Levites and to the priests so they can live off part of the offerings. And they were to bring their first fruits. They were not to bring, listen, their cast-offs. They were to bring the best to God, not the cast-offs. And yet I feel today there are many of us in trying to be obedient to God that we get what's best and then we give God what is the cast-offs. And then we wonder why we're in trouble with God. And here is the whole order of giving to God.
If today's lesson has shown you that it's time for your family to establish a renewed commitment to the Lord, we encourage you to make that fresh start right away. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we can send you an unedited copy for a gift of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching from Nehemiah chapter 10. We'd also like to offer you Raul's new 4-message audio pack titled Obey. We've been reminded that there are many ways to honor God, from prioritizing fellowship with other believers to giving to the Lord's work and tithe. This CD series will inspire you to follow God's commands in full expectation of His rich spiritual blessings in all aspects of life. You'll also be challenged to spend more regular time reading the Word so that you can seek out the Lord's wisdom and direction. Contact us today to purchase Raul's new audio pack centered on obedience. We'll send you this 4-CD collection for a gift of $19 or more when you visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. Once again, that's 800-634-9165. You can also order this resource by writing us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Once again, that's Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We invite you to enjoy our many free Somebody Loves You Radio resources as well. To keep Scripture at your fingertips, take a moment to download our free app to your iPhone or Android. You'll have instant access to an easy Bible reading plan, digital Bible studies, and more teaching from Raul. You can also join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk, a Q&A program with biblical guidance for godly living. Plus, we've archived all of the Somebody Loves You radio programs for you to explore and download at your convenience using Spotify or iTunes. Our number one goal here is to support you in your spiritual growth with God's life-giving Word. Let us know how we can best serve you. When you contact us, we'd also love to pray for you as well. This ministry is made possible through your continued partnership. Every gift you give is tax-deductible, and your generosity helps keep us on the air. Join us again next time to meditate on more truth from God's Word. There's no better source of hope and direction than the Bible, and we look forward to studying it verse by verse with you. Here's Raul now once again with a final thought.
And then he gets down to verse 37. And I want you to bring the first fruits of our dough, which means it brought the best bread, the best fruits, the best wines, the best oils. Everything was given to the priest to be put into the storerooms of the house of our God. And then verse 38, and the priest and the descendants of Aaron shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive tithe And the Levite shall bring up a tenth of the tithes of the house of our God to the rooms of the storehouses. And then for the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring in the offering of the grain and the new wine and the oil in the storerooms where the articles of the sanctuary are, and where the priests who ministers or serves at the, by the gatekeepers and the singers are. And check this out. Here is the final and the conclusion. He says what? And we will not neglect the house of our God. Listen, remember one thing. You are the temple of the living God, the house of God. I beg you this morning by the mercies of God, take to heart what has been said and do what God says, and you'll be blessed.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.